Chapter 4 and verse 13. Now, I'm sure being over here in the mountains and fog lays in at all different elevations, and it could be of any time of day. It doesn't really necessarily just have to be morning, does it, for there to be a fog to lay in. We were traveling here not too long ago. Brother, I surely do appreciate that. This ain't going to get my eyebrows, is it? Thank you. But a fog can lay in at any given time, and when you're driving down the highway, that's always sometimes most interesting. We can be going along, and sometimes that fog can be so thick we can barely see the front of our hood, it seems like. I'm sure y'all have been there before. And that fog comes in, and you know, when it does, we really don't worry too much about what we can't see, do we? You're just focused on what you can see. Amen? And many times in our Christian life, especially when you've been saved for a long time, you begin to focus on things that are so far out that you don't even pay attention to what's right here in front of you. And that comes with sometimes with family and raising a family and children. Sometimes it comes with those that are closest to you that you're around most often. But we need to be recognizing those things that we can see at this present time. And so right here in James chapter 4, we'll begin reading in verse number 13. The Bible says, go to now. And as I mentioned, that's come to this present time. It's kind of a, when you just look up the definitions and the concordances of just go to now and what the Greek lays out, it's saying come to this present time. That has a little better flow to it, just right now, today. Go to now, James says. Ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? Everyone in here should ask that question to themselves. Yes. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I'll read that one more time. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for your word. Lord, it is penetrating and it can divide the marrow and the bone. Lord, it is so good to our soul to be able to read and be nurtured by your very words, Lord. I thank you for this old King James Bible, and I thank you for just the opportunity to be able to preach tonight. Thank you for Pastor Sexton and these folks here at Ridgeview, Lord. I just pray that you bless them. I pray that this will be the message that they're needing to hear as it's coming time to go to the Philippines on this missions trip, Lord. I pray that this will be an encouragement to their heart, to their spirit, to those that are going to be stepping out onto a mission field, Lord. And you have a purpose and a calling for each and every person in this room tonight. And I pray that they be sensitive to that. I pray that you continue to bless the time we have. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Go to now. Come to this present time. You know, James, writing in here, is the book of faith by our works, is shown. Amen? If we're going to show our faith, we have to show with our works. Amen? Faith without works is dead. There's a couple of famous verses. You turn over to chapter 2, and we're reminded of those things. There, verse 17 and 18, it says, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Verse 26, same chapter. For the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now, if anybody in here had their spirit to leave them, we would know it, would we not? Amen? Just as much as somebody that is not showing their faith by their works, we know it. You know it by the fruit of their life. You can see in the way that they are caring about themselves and how they are acting and the way that they work day in and day out, the way they come in from service to service, and whether they are showing their faith by their works. Now, James says, go to now. Ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and buy and sell and get gain. There is nothing wrong with going into such a city to buy, sell, and get gain. I mean, I'm sure how many people have a job here tonight? As my boys sometimes have this thought, since I stepped away from the job I had for 12 years, they kind of say, well, my daddy doesn't have a job, we're just missionaries now. And, well, you know how that goes. Deputation is a whole different job in itself. But as far as that Monday through Friday, going to a punch-a-clock kind of job, I don't necessarily have that now. But God has been good. But it says, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city to continue there a year to buy, sell, and get gain. You look at that and you think, okay, so James is kind of trying to talk against it, but it's not the fact of talking against going and doing something to work and get gain. Hey, we got to keep the lights on. We need to bring the tithes to the storehouse. We need to be able to give and be blessings to others. But the catch is in verse 15. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. You know, the Lord cares about all the details of our life. Yes. If you're a child of God today, He cares about all the details of your life. I think about whenever Jesus was with the disciples and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And He said, even pray, give us this day our daily bread. Something that simple. I mean, we'll pray over a meal, but we don't necessarily come up and say, Lord, we're going to need some food today. I mean, we're in America, right? We've got an overabundance. We're the richest among the rich in all of the world. And if anybody's not been to the Philippines, when you get there, you'll really figure that out quick. But we are rich in this country. We don't necessarily have to have that thought. And so then it proceeds to the thing that we sometimes don't concern ourselves with the Lord of even some of the details of our life, of what we're going to do for a living. Whether we're going to buy a house, whether we're going to buy a car. And sometimes, you know, the requests that were mentioned tonight, I know that I'm preaching to the choir on this, but this was something I had to be reminded of years ago whenever God was getting a hold of our heart to surrender, to be available, to be ready to serve Him in whatever capacity that was going to be. That's where God began to get a hold of our heart. It was in 2012, God began to deal with my heart on the call to preach. And after I surrendered to that, shortly after, I knew it was going to be time of preparation. Time of learning and time of going through studies and things like that. And that's sometimes hard to understand because you have that fire of wanting to preach. And you're thinking, Lord, we have this desert time. Amen? This is time on the backside of the desert. Well, every great man of God has spent some time on the backside of the desert. Amen? Moses, of all people, he spent a lot of time on the backside of the desert. All the apostles did. Paul did. Even our Lord and Savior spent time in the desert place. And so preparation was an important thing. God settled that for me. And at that time in 2013, He just showed me that we needed to get out of debt. That was the only thing He showed us. At that point, as far as just a will other than preparation for to learn how to preach and to study for the ministry, He just began to show that we need to offload any other baggage that we had, so that when God said, all right, I want you to go do this, we didn't have to say, well, oh Lord, I've got this land and this house and these types of things that I've got me burdened down where I can't step out and go and do. And that was by my testimony, that's where we were at. And so in 2013, we began that process. And over the next 3 years, we saw God do miraculous things. We sold our home. We were able to start to get rid of other things that we did not need. You know, I say for my generation, and we go through that time of seeking after the American dream, and for my generation, it's everything that your parents have in the first 5 years of marriage. Right? Some of you can smile. That's all right. But you know, and it's just getting in debt past your eyeballs, and it's an impatience. It's a covetousness of wanting to try to have what you really am not ready to have. And so we just began to offload that debt. And let me tell you, that is freeing, by the way. If you're burdened down with debt, it is a freeing thing to be able to get rid of those burdens. Because the Bible says the borrower is servant to the lender. And I just got convicted about it and said, Lord, I only want to be servant to You. And so we began to move off those things. And by 2016, we sat in our missions conference. God had done miraculous things. Sold vehicles that shouldn't have been sold. Was able to have somebody give us a vehicle. Actually, that van out there tonight, somebody sowed that into her lives, as they said. Now, it's got 275,000 miles, and it's God's van. It can run as long as He wants it to. But He had that blessing. We had $25,000 in medical bills forgiven. I mean, just one miracle after another that just began to take place. And God, as He was leading, was providing. Amen? You know, people say, how are you going to make it with all these kids? I said, well, my father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And He can take care of us. Amen? And you stand on His Word and you stand on the truth of what this book says. And He is going to lead you and He's going to guide you all the way.
Yes.
Faith is not Him saying, all right, here's the carrot at the end. Faith is going ahead and taking that step and then He'll say, oh, here's the carrot. You'll take another step and you ain't seen it yet. And then, oh, here it is. Thank You, Lord. And sometimes He likes to get you right there to the end, and that's those faith growing moments. Amen.
Yeah.
That's those moments where money can't buy those faith growing steps that you get in your life. God begins to work in your heart, and He begins to show you that He can provide miraculously above and beyond all that we can ask or think. And God is so, so good in that. But too many times we want to procrastinate those steps in our life when we need to go to now. We need to understand that right now we need to come to this present time and realize that God has a plan for each and every person in here tonight. Come to now and say, God, what is Your will for me? What is it that You would have me to go do a year from now, 10 years from now? It's okay to have a plan and to have a purpose and be led by your pastor to be able to go and go to Bible college, or if those are the decisions that you need to make, or pastor, could you pray with us about this purchase of a home, if this is a direction for the Lord? Because God can use those things. We're supposed to be given a hospitality, amen? God can use the gifts and abilities that God has for you. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. God gives you things not just for you to have it. He gives it to us with a purpose. And sometimes we are guilty of trying to just kind of hold it to our own bosom and try to keep it close to us. When it's not even ours to begin with, we can't take our next breath without Him.
Yes.
Chapter 8, verse 9, Paul is reminding the Corinthians right here, and be a good reminder for us tonight. I know many were praying for lost souls, and you pray for lost souls because you remember that time when you were lost. Remember that time whenever you were undone in sin. And right here in verse 9 it says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. What riches we do have. You know, I've always thought it amazing that somebody can just get saved and just warm a pew for the rest of their time on this earth. Because the blessings that come from serving our Lord. I mean, He calls us ambassadors in 1 Corinthians. That we are representatives of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're able to step out and say, hey, I come bringing a message from one that has all authority and all power, created all things.
Yeah, tell it.
But yet we begin to forget those moments. And we, like I said, Paul is reminding the Corinthians right here that we know the grace. That first helping, if you would, of grace. That first helping of grace that comes into your life is salvation. Well, let me say this. From my personal time with the Lord and Him showing me the direction of our life, those helpings of grace continue to come as He begins to lead. That first helping is there and it's sufficient for all of eternity. Amen? And that second helping that comes, you know, it's a step of obedience and baptism. Let me say, if you've never been baptized in a Baptist church, you need to get baptized if you're saved tonight. But as you begin to make these obedient steps as a child, think about that, as a child of God, that picture is there as children underneath. If you're a parent tonight, children that you have, what do you want to see? You want to see them trust you. You want to see them listen for your guidance. You want to see them step out and be a hard worker and a representative of your family name. Amen? That's what God wants for our life as well. And if we would just consider that, consider how He sees us and how He wants us to work and serve Him. And He's so good to us as He gives those helpings of grace along the way. But He became poor Think about as He was being crucified on the cross, the power, the authority that He had could have called down a legion of angels at any moment to come and pull Him off that cross, or to wipe out every Roman soldier in all of the world at any given time. He could have spoke it and it would have taken place. The One that spoke the world into existence humbled Himself in such a way so that we could have the riches of glory.
Yes, amen.
That is who we serve. But in verse 10 it says, "Herein I give you my advice." So Paul's given some advice. We need to pay attention because it's been given to him by the Holy Spirit. Amen. "For this is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do but also to be forward a year ago," or to be willing a year ago. They were willing a year ago. Was there something that you've been willing to do in time past? Is there something you've been willing to do to look back and say, "Well, I used to serve in Sunday school class," or "I used to do this and helping some kids be able to make it to church," or I used to be active in this area," or "I used to do these things." But now he's saying, "I'm giving you some advice. If there was a time in your past where you used to be willing to do this, let's come to right now and consider this time. Because there's still lost and dying souls going off into eternity." Verse 11, "Now therefore, perform the doing of it." Come to now. Amen? Come to now. "Perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have." Now this context is talking about how the Corinthians were giving. They were willing to give a year ago to be able to help the furtherance of the gospel. But let me say, when it speaks of a performance, I think of those that are performing the work of the Lord. That are performing the work of the Lord, that are willing to go and do with whatever ability God has given you to do. God has given each and every one of us ability. The person sitting next to you is not responsible for your ability. Only you are. You are responsible for the ability God has given you, and that you will be accountable for the performance that you have given out of that ability.
Yes.
Every one of us. There will be no excuses. There will be no way to say, "Well, but Lord..." No. Every one of us have a responsibility to be willing and ready to go and do whatever the Lord would have us to do with what we have. Back over to our text in James. Verse 14 says, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow." Procrastination. I don't want to get too honest here with everybody and expose all of my own sins, but I'll tell you that one right there. Procrastination is my biggest sin. And it is a sin. Let me tell you that, because it's partial obedience or delayed obedience for what God wants you to do. He's given us a command to go into all the world. Amen? And so when we delay our obedience, it has a repercussion. Just as much as a child, if he wants to be delayed in his obedience, there will be a repercussion. Maybe the rod of understanding on the... Or no, the rod of correction on the seat of understanding. Excuse me. But I'm just saying, there are some things that God has in place for our life. And we don't know what tomorrow will bring. So let's do what we can today. Let's do whenever God pricks our heart and we say, "Boy, you know, God really spoke to me about wanting to give a tract to somebody." Or "God really has really been having somebody at work on my heart to pray for them." And we neglect to do that. Oh, woe is us. I mean, there may be coming a time where you may be standing before the Lord with blood on your hands. Because that was your responsibility. You were the one supposed to go and reach that person. But we don't know if we have tomorrow, because this life is a vapor. I think of those that have gone on before us, and everybody can. Everybody can think about those who passed on. Those that are not here. And I'm not saying just in this church, but I'm saying just people who passed on into eternity. Glory if they were saved, but I could almost say everyone here could think of somebody that you don't know where they spent eternity, or you may know for sure that they weren't in heaven, spent eternity in hell. And his life is so brief. I can think of two guys that I grew up with that I never truly gave the gospel, really tried to work hard at giving them the gospel, just kind of in passing. And both of them, as far as I know, split hell wide open when they died in their early 20s. And that breaks my heart. Because there's somebody's... I mean, not only are they a soul, but there's somebody's son, there's somebody's daughter, there's somebody's brother. May have been somebody's wife or husband. I mean, we don't want to get too personal now. We don't want to think about somebody in that kind of sense. We just think, you know, people pass on. It happens all the time. But no, there is eternal repercussions. And as you think about those that have gone on before us, this life is so brief. It's a vapor. Appeareth for a little while and then passeth away. It's just here for a short time. And what brief this life is already. I'm 33 and it seems like it's already going by fast. And it slows down after that, right, Pastor? After 33? No, that's not what I've heard. It just continues to speed up. But this life is so brief and we need to take advantage of every day that we have, because we like to look and think that others are mortal. But, oh, we've got time. I've got time to wait. I'll start doing that Sunday school class, or I'll start working in this ministry or that ministry, or I'll go on next year's missions trip, or whatever the case might be. And all these things are just the tricks of the devil to try to procrastinate the work of the Lord in believers. He is the biggest trickster in all the world. I mean, he has had 6,000 years of practice. Do you not think that he would be able to work out some of those little subtle hints of just saying, oh, that can wait. Oh, you don't have to give that person a track. Oh, you've got tomorrow. No. Today. Take advantage of right now. Continue to seek the Lord for what He wants for you today. Move on down to the end of the chapter. It says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. To him it is sin. What good have you known to do? It's that Holy Spirit's leading, that pricking of your heart. What have you known to do good, but do it not? That Holy Spirit's leading in your life, and we do not do that. The Bible says that it's sin. It's sin. Now, I think to some great testimonies of folks who have given over the years and over time. And looking back, you know, there's been some great testimonies of years gone by, but God is still the God of today. The same God that was back years ago, that you saw great blessings come through great meetings and great ministries, and even right now here today, is still the same God that wants to help us today. Still the same God that's going to allow my family to be able to go down to Bolivia and be able to reach those folks. But I've seen God do some amazing things here just the last couple weeks, because of some other people who've been willing to say, yes, Lord, we will do this or do that. And I'll share this testimony with you. We were on our way back from Indiana. It was kind of this first big stretch of our missions conferences that we had. And as I was coming back, we were going to be in our home church for just a couple days for the missions conference, and we're going to see about giving our faith promise for the rest of the year. You know, we're going to do it in a monthly giving through faith promise. And as we came back and we're praying about just, Lord, what you would want us to do, my wife and I were talking with one another, and forgive me, I get in the flesh every once in a while. I began to reason of just one amount or another. God had already laid an amount on my heart, but for some reason I kind of had this other amount in my mind. And I kept going back and forth. I kept asking the Lord, what is it you want me to do? And it was just very simple. It's like, well, you can't outgive God. You cannot give. You know, you can't give more and Him not give it back to you, pressed down, shaking together, and running over. And so it just went with a greater amount. And so with just a few minutes after we had decided that's what we were going to give, I got a phone call from a pastor down in Mississippi. And, you know, when you're a missionary and you get a phone call from a pastor at about 8:30 in the evening on a Sunday night, that's a good time to get a phone call from a pastor. That usually means that they voted to take you on. So, but what was neat about that is that it was the difference of those two amounts that I had in my mind for whatever reasons. And, you know, just seeing God work right then, right now. So we share that with our boys. We always want to make sure we remind them of just how big our God is and how much He cares about all the details of our life. And so I had shared it with the boys, and And as I said, we were going to our missions conference, and as we got down back to Arkansas, we were there Monday, and Tuesday I was fixed to preach. And Aaron had told us on Monday, he said that God laid on his heart that he was wanting to give $300 this year. And I was like, well, praise the Lord. This would have been his third year for Faith Promise. First year he gave $20 just all at once for the year. Second year he gave $50 all at once for the year. Well, this year was $300. And so I was like, all right, well, I'm going to use, you know, my mathematician skills and do the math. And, you know, all right, that's $5.34 a week. And he was thinking, okay, that's thanks, Dad. And all right, $5.34, he's got that. And the Lord can bless and be able to provide through this next year for that weekly amount. Well, as I'm sitting there getting ready to preach on Tuesday night, he comes down, or comes back to me, says, Dad, do you have my envelope? I said, well, I don't have your envelope. What the deal is with our oldest five boys, we teach them to save money. I said, my goodness, y'all have no expenses right now. You can save your money. You know, birthdays and Christmas and whatever else, try to save your money. And so I said, no, I don't have your envelope. What are you wanting to buy? And, you know, the thing was is that Aaron had been saving. We've been praying about trying to go back to Bolivia for a couple weeks before the end of this year. And just to take the boys, they've not been yet. My wife and I have been back in August for a survey trip. And just to take them and just wanted to show them the country and be able to have some time, obviously, just father and sons. And so he was saving his money to buy him a plane ticket to go to Bolivia. That's what he was going to save his for, and see if the Lord would open that door. And, you know, I'm very honored for our son, my oldest son, Aaron, to have that decision in his own life. So as he came back asking for his envelope, I said, well, what are you wanting to buy? And he said, you know, at this point he'd saved up about $300. And he said, well, I want to get my missions. I said, you want to do what? He said, I want to give my missions. And I said, well, no, I don't have your envelope, but we can take care of that before we leave out tomorrow. We'll try to do that. And so, I mean, I'm just brokenhearted, Pastor. I mean, I don't know if you like being really emotional before you get to go preach, but it really makes a mess out of me. So, so I go up and I end up shared that at the end of the message because it just broke my heart because of all the times we try to teach our children to do this and to stand for what's right and to obey what God tells you to do in your life, and then when they do something that's like, well, I wouldn't do that. It makes you step back and think, Lord, thank you. You know, thank you for working in their life. And so as I began to share that with everybody, Pastor took the liberty and got up there after and said, hey, I think somebody, you know, if the Lord leads them, needs to take care of that. And so before Aaron left that night, he had $300 back. I say amen to that. But then before we got gone the next day, we had another $300. And then that Sunday, our Spanish church got another $328. So now here we're at a whole ticket. Just like that. And so God cares about our obedience. God cares about recognizing right now, today. And not only was that met, and this is not out of anything that I've done. It's all out of the faith of a young boy. And hey, if a boy can bring five loaves and two fishes and feed 5,000, a young boy can give all of his $300 and wind up with one whole ticket paid for, and then another man come up and say, hey, I want to pay for the second ticket. And it's just like, glory to God. And I mean, just seeing people see that step of faith, and I mean, money cannot buy that right there. Those growth and those times whenever you say, okay, Lord, and I'll give this, or okay, Lord, I'll do this, and He begins to provide and He begins to show just how great and mighty a God He is. And even still yet, when you see it all the perspective, all of this world's wealth and everything around it, and we serve a true and living God, even still yet, that seems like not much. But to a young boy and another young boy and another young boy in our family, it's a big deal. And it's something that God has been able to just encourage us and be able to give us just that understanding that He's going to meet our needs and He's going to take care of each and every step along the way. And even though hardship comes and even though trials come and even though my shortcomings begin to show so many faults and failures, God is still faithful.
Amen.
If we'll just come to right now, realizing how brief this life is, asking the Lord for His will, and to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Just do what the Lord has told you to do. Amen. Lord, I thank You so much for this evening, and I thank You for the time we've had here tonight. I thank You for Your Spirit and the sweetness of the folks that are here tonight. Dear Lord, if Paul had said it, Lord, help my unbelief. I know many of us have had to say it over time. And as we begin to labor, Lord, and I just pray for those tonight, if there's anyone weary, that they'd come and be able to make those things right with You and just revived and ready to go and do whatever it is You've asked them to do, God. Lord, I just pray that You'd work in hearts as they go through this next couple weeks, and it'll be a time to go to the Philippines. And God, it's not by chance that we're here tonight. It's not by chance that that mission trip's going to take place. It's not by chance of any of those things that are going to go on. Lord, Your work, we shall not labor in vain as we serve You. Lord, I pray for laborers into this harvest. Lord, I pray that You'd use that time here these next couple weeks. Pray that You use tonight's message. Lord, I pray that You use Your words, Lord, as Your Spirit to lead and guide those here tonight. We love You and praise You for all You do. In Jesus' name, Pastor Sexton.